And it's all about creating the advantage for your team on with your touches, with your passes, with however, like you said about Courtois, taking touches, taking more touches, not doing anything. And suddenly the pass that you have to make, it's so easy thing. Because you are patient and your team has an idea, has the concept to apply in the games.
Hello, goalkeepers, and welcome back to a new episode of the Gloves On podcast. We are your host, Marcus Sundin, and alongside me is Alexander Brams. Today, we're joined by a new guest, Juri Nieminen. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, guys.
It's a pleasure to have you on. You are currently first team goalkeeper coach and head of goalkeeping at New York Red Bulls in the MLS in the States. Can you talk us through a little bit about how it is to be first team goalkeeper coach for such a big club and also being head of goalkeeping at the club?
Yeah, so of course I just recently joined. Everything got cleared in January, and then through COVID and everything, it took some time to get all the paperwork done and come here. First of all, compared to the other clubs, of course, Red Bull has something special and something unique. What comes from the collective. So we have a head of international goalkeeping. We had good connection in between the different clubs, and that's something that maybe makes difference between us and the other clubs in similar levels. So first of all, that's a great experience and get great support from there. Otherwise, it's the same work everywhere, right? Day in, day out, from game to game, and same time trying to make people better. So really enjoying it so far.
Yeah, we love what we do, and that's why we also have this podcast to talk about what we love, and that's goalkeeping. Alexander and I have both been in the States. I'm currently in the States. Alexander has been in the States. We played in college, so we know a little bit about what they call American soccer, obviously football, but we can see that the MLS is growing, and overall American soccer is growing at a rapid speed. How is it to, obviously you just started your new position, but how is it to come over? Because we know that the States is, everything is bigger. They are maybe a little bit more flashy and stuff like that. How is it to, obviously also cultural wise, for you to transist to a new country and style of play and stuff like that?
Yeah, now it's quite easy to answer that because this is my second time in MLS already. So I was here 4 years ago, first time, and now coming back. So it's been nice to compare what was I missing, what's the same like in my previous job. So yeah, to be honest, all the events are so great. Even with a little bit less spectators now in the stadium, the whole match day, how it's organized, and all the events, how is it organized, and like how the people are in the stadiums, that's awesome. That's great. And same time, like everything is organized more in the same way, like in a basketball or baseball or hockey. So there's a tradition to organize the whole match day and the things around the club. So of course it's not the same like we see the clubs organized in Europe. So of course Red Bull is slightly different because we are part of bigger consortium, but like MLS clubs in general are run in more. Can I say business way, but the sport business way maybe, and that makes difference in daily operations. And especially now having my second stint here, I really realize it and I see the differences. Other than that, the league has been growing. It's been growing all this time, like 4 years ago, 3 years ago, and now it's a better league, definitely, and it's more exciting league also, like worldwide.
Yeah, and we talked with the... Oh, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, and what you said about about the way of soccer and everything. I think what I would like to highlight is that the culture is very much athletic culture here, but the soccer football culture is not so much different, because we have coaches, we have players from South America, Europe, so much, and even, you know, coaches that have been in States for a long time, they might come from Mexico or Colombia or something like this. So it's a nice mix, but definitely what is coming from the US culture is athletic. The guys are really athletes, and that's a big value when you come into any of these MLS buildings or anything. So that's impressive, and that's something that everybody must take with them when they leave from here one day.
Yeah, we talked in a previous episode with former MLS goalkeeper David Austell, who currently played in the Allsvenskan in Sweden, and he played several years in the States and talk about the evolution of the league and stuff like that, and the names that they can attract now. We talk Wayne Rooney, we talk Andrea Pirlo, David Beckham, stuff like that, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. So it's obviously there is money in the league, and that's probably also a big reason why we see this increase in development in the league. But if we go a little bit back and talk about the position we love again, goalkeeping, the topic today is going to be around building up from the back, playing out from behind as a goalkeeper. We know that distribution nowadays is so important as a goalkeeper. In your own philosophy, how important is it for your goalkeepers to play it out from the back and obviously be the first man in the attack as well?
Yeah, it's extremely important, and really I would like to see it always from collective first. So if team has a strategy to build up from behind, the goalkeeper is initiating it like every single time. So if it's the first goal kick, or it's the first time that the goalkeeper has the ball in his hands, or center back has situation that he must give the back pass, let's see it this way now, and the goalkeeper does the decision that is not encouraging the team way of play or the team game plan, that will affect the rest of the game for sure. So it is really so important that it starts to go in a right way in relation to the team identity or match plan. So it is hard to fix during the game if you don't start to do it in a way that your team wants to do it. So there is no space in that level. There is no space for I didn't feel confident, or I didn't feel it today, or my team was tired. No, but it's something that is fundamental for the team, and it's fundamental for you to play well as a goalkeeper. So of course you still have to defend your goal and all that, but at the same time, like, we will receive or concede so much less shot against the goal or whatever situations to defend if we just do the build up first. So it is fundamental, and I don't make a big difference in between defensive actions or attacking actions in terms of importance. So of course we need to stop the ball, and that's something fundamental, but in daily basis, everybody that comes to my training, for example, they are already in some level in defending the goal. So now in the daily basis, the importance is almost equal, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. And when you look at the MLS, how has it developed from when the first time you were there till now in terms of playing out from the back?
I'm not sure if I'm affected by the fact that the goal kick rule has changed. Now I think more teams are playing with short passes from goal kicks and from the goalkeeper, but same time that can be only a feeling. So I don't have really detailed analysis on that, but almost every team has a proper goal kick strategy, how they wanna how they want to play that set play, how they want to come build up through the lines. But same time, I can see also that a lot of teams are really prepared to press those situations. So that means also that it is important when the opponent is building up that the other team is ready to really press those situations with the detailed strategy. So I would say that it's definitely been more common team now. But same time, it wasn't only kicking long balls or going vertical or anything like that even 3-4 years ago. So same time, the comparison is not maybe the best way to describe it, but I would say that, yeah, definitely the demand for position of goalkeeper is been highly, highly developing in whole world, but also in here, definitely.
Yeah, the demands of a goalkeeper playing out with his feet and his distribution skill has to be a lot better now than before. And we see top class goalkeepers such as, Ederson is the perfect example of a keeper who is so good with his feet. But also, I'm a Madrid fan, so I've been watching Courtois a lot and looking at him closer. And this past year, he has developed so much with his feet. I started noticing right after the first COVID lockdown and when this league restarted back in 2020, he started playing up from the back and taking more touches and not just first time the ball booting it out as far as possible like he used to do in Chelsea and Atletico. Now he's actually taking touches. He's trying to clip it out to his backs and just seeing him take a touch and go forward with it is just showing how he has developed. And there are so many other keepers who have done that as well. And you love to see it because you love to see when you're the first line of attack and you play out from the back and you start playing out. And something that we've also talked about, there's a difference between having good distribution skills and being able to play out from the back. So you can maybe kick far over the middle with both right and left foot, but if you don't know how to play out from the back in a pressured situation where you have three guys coming in on you, closing your teammates, and then you have one open guy, how can you play that ball right timing, right pace? So how can you help your goalkeeper train that and develop that?
You said exactly what I wanted to say. I wanted to say also that I don't kind of like the word distribution because that means that the goalkeeper is only giving the ball somewhere, right? But like you said, it's built up, it's relation to my teammates. So it can also mean that I'm just standing in the right spot. And that is creating something. That is creating the line of passing line. It's maybe fixing the opponents. It's creating better support for your teammate. And now he has a chance to turn or whatever. So that is also build up. And it's all about creating the advantage for your team. On with your touches, with your passes, with however, like you said about Courtois, taking touches, taking more touches, not doing anything. And suddenly the pass that you have to make, it's so easy thing because you are patient and your team has an idea, has the concept to apply in the games. So really, it's creating the advantage. And now it doesn't matter where in the field and how you do it, but I'll try to bring that understanding to the drills. Like it is always, of course, about your touches, about your passes, about different kind of kicking techniques. But what I have to do every day is to put that in a context. So in what kind of situations? Let's think about the warming up now when it's build up day. From the warm up, put that touch and that pass and that when you drive the ball, put it on a context of the game situation. Maybe using the video before the training, maybe you are able to create so good drill that everybody understands what is it. And from there it comes. And of course, then you increase the complexity, put the other goalkeepers to press, try to create extra number of people by using mannequins and mini goals and stuff. But always the main thing is to present the whole situation to them. with the specific communication to situation, with the specific information, where do you have to look? What do you have to see? Maybe next weekend the opponent is playing with the three players pressing. So how do we want to manipulate them? And what's the next pass to find? And that's it, right? Constant, consistent educating. And same time, of course, me helping them in the, let's say that we play 7v7 or we play a build-up game 10v8 or something like that. So all the time helping them to recognize the situations, helping them to understand the dynamics and consequences of each pass, or if opponent is stepping to press, where is the space? So it's all about the dynamics and helping them to recognize the context, content.
Yeah. And in the beginning, you said something about support creating the advantage, and there's an old myth that says that the goalkeeper has to be in between the sticks and not move outside of his box or whatever. And that's just something that I can't relate to. I've always been the keeper who would support. So if my left center back have it, I go over to his side outside of my little box and come out and be a supportive player, because then he has three options. He can play, or four or five, but he can play his left back. He can play his number six defender, defensive midfielder. He can play me. And then suddenly the striker, he has to make a decision. Does he cut them off? Does he cut me off? And often they don't cut me off, but if they do, they now have probably some other guy open on the field, because I mean, the keeper from the other opposing team doesn't cover a guy, so there should be a guy open. So as you said, it's about creating the advantages. And if you place yourself in the right position, you should be able to find an open guy.
Yeah, exactly. And if we do that example that you just described, so now if you see that your center back is not under the pressure, but opponent has a nice block under the ball and they are not cutting off the passing line to you, so maybe now you can move to complete other side to create the line of, if you like, one extra man in the line. So which means that your left center back can now also push up a little bit, your left back can push up a little bit, and then you manipulate the spaces, because now you are the way to circulate the ball. So all these things, like weighing the options, but then the goalkeepers must learn the priorities. Like, okay, my priority is first of all to be available. Secondly, it's maybe to be safe. And the third priority might be maximize the space.
Yeah, and when we talk about this building up from the back, I think there should be a fine line in how much you want to do it. With that being said, that I think some teams might be a little bit naive with the build up from the back, that they are so persistent that they always do it no matter what. We have a team in the Danish league, FC Nordsjælland. They would do it all the time, no matter what, no matter how far up the pressure is from the opponent team, they will still, in the goal kick, they'll play it and try to build it up instead of sometimes kicking the long ball. And unfortunately, they conceded a goal earlier this week doing that. I know everyone makes mistakes, stuff like that, but sometimes I believe that maybe we take it too far with the building up from the back, and sometimes we need to look maybe for the winger or for the striker, because we know what the strikers, it could be the perfect ball, you can take it down to his chest and he could play it to whoever he wants. So what is your opinion on that? I believe sometimes that we should be more, yeah, just sometimes we should just play the long ball instead of just being so persistent with our build up from the back. And with that being said, I'm a big fan of building up from the back. Myself as a goalkeeper, I love being a part of the build up. But sometimes I just think it's that some goalkeepers and some teams are a bit naive and want to do it no matter what.
Yeah, it's when we analyze the build up, like you said now about Nordsjælland, it is all about understanding the philosophy also, like what are they trying to create. And I can say that honestly, that my personal view is that I haven't seen a lot of teams that are too naive, in my opinion, but also I understand that it's where I'm coming from, it's my philosophy. But same time, of course, I need to be adaptable, I need to understand the working context where I am at that moment. So But really, it's all about understanding the philosophy and what are they trying to create. Are they really trying to play through the lines no matter what? And that's silly, that's naive, right? Or I would like to see that they are trying to take it quite far back there to create more space and even one more pass to create even more space to have that advantage. And now you should use that striker. Now you should use that winger behind their fullback or whatever, because you force them to commit more numbers than it's smart for them, because they see now we're hunting, now we can win the ball. And that moment you play behind them. It doesn't matter now if it's a mid-distance clip behind the pressure or if it's a really a long ball, but like you said, it's all about having the right pass or having the right decision in the right moment, because at the end you want to go to score. And of course, in my opinion, the reason to build up with short is trying to lure the opponent away from their own goal, that we can go there, right? I think that's the only reason why you take one, I don't like to say risk, but why you take one more decision to move the ball backwards or sideways. Okay, bring the fullback also to press, and then we hurt you.
Yeah, and Yuri, you mentioned earlier that obviously as a goalkeeper coach, you also analyze the opponent team and how they attack and stuff like that. Is it different from game to game for your goalkeepers, how he would build up from the back? Or do we have the same philosophy no matter if you play, let's say, number one in the table or number or the last team in the table? Is it different from how you build up from the back?
First of all, of course, in all the clubs that I've been working, my role as a goalkeeper coach is slightly different. In some jobs, it's been more like an assistant coach. And in some roles, it's more just to prepare the goalkeepers and, you know, have discussions and have proposals and all that. Like approaching the next game, how do we want to build up in relation to the opponent? So yes, and in some games also like taking the whole week. So there is not so many days to prepare for the game, because first there is a couple of days to come back from previous game, work on a feedback, like defensively or offensively, doesn't matter. Work the feedback from previous game, and then you have the match preparation couple of days. So first of all, it's the priority, like what are we going to face defensively, and then how much build up we're going to have in this game, choosing the training topics. But from there, like when I decide to work on a build up, yeah, it's a opponent specific thing, going closer to the end of the week. And it can be something simple also. It can be that they just commit a lot of numbers in a back pass. So where we find the space after that, and really where is the moment to make the clearance, and maybe it's a goal kick, because we know that they really commit so much numbers with the goal kick if we play short. So how do we now play short and use the space in behind? Yeah, it is opponent related, but I don't force it. If there is nothing that I could really anticipate happening, or not that I could highlight the importance, then I don't force it. It can be also something general that happens in every game, no matter what. But then I just try to put it on a context of the opponent, just for goalkeeper to have the orientation, like where are we going and why are we doing this?
Yeah, and you as a goalkeeper coach, with a philosophy of want to build up from the back, which I think is how the goalkeeping position is developing as well, that obviously we are the first line of attack, but also that more teams want to build up from the back and not just play the long balls. I can use a short example here that, for example, what I have experienced in college so far, these 2 years, is that honestly, there is not a lot of building up from the back in the league I'm in. There is a lot of having a big striker and playing it up to him. He's taking it down and then he turns, or he plays a winger or a midfielder, and then we go from there. Where we see Premier League, we see the Danish League. I watch that a lot, obviously, because I'm from Denmark. I've always also watched a few games in the MLS. And we see that more and more teams want to build up from the back. So I believe that, for example, in college, they should might want to look into building up from the back so the goalkeepers are used to it when they get into the draft, getting drafted by an MLS team or a lower league team, instead of just having this philosophy of when I get the ball as a goalkeeper, I just need to get rid of it. My job is to save the ball. No, it's not. Your job is to be the first line of attack. It is to help your defenders. It is obviously also to save the ball. But I've also seen statistics on compared to how many saves you have in a game, compared to how many passes and distribution specific things you do in a game. And it's, you have so much more distribution and passing within a game than you have saves. So I believe, I'm a big believer in the importance of it. And I think that in different aspects of the world, I know we do it a lot back home in Denmark, but I think more and more countries should look into tell the young goalkeepers to build out from the back, because that's how the professional game is developing.
Yeah, I got a lot of ideas from what you just said. I like a lot. So first of all, that's the number, the statistic that you just said, that is exactly the way of looking it. And really not only for goalkeeper not to make mistake in all those passes. Let's say that there is 92% of actions are passes, some kind of passes with your hand or with your feet. So now, are we looking not to fuck it up with those passes, or are we looking to create an advantage with those passes, or are we just looking to distribute it to the field in a good way? You know, there can be so many different philosophies, but whatever we choose, or whatever the team or club or the head coach is choosing, that is going to affect everything that happens in the game later. So it's not only that isolated action, it is really going to affect everything. And that's how we started, right? The other thing that you just said is, no matter what's the playing style of the current team, looking from goalkeeper perspective or goalkeeper coach perspective, I think we still should develop the players, develop the individuals, train with a wider scale. So for example, in your team, I think the coach should still prepare you for future. Or maybe it's the next season when there is a new head coach. You want to be ready for that year as well. Or when you get drafted by us, you want to be prepared for that. But same time, you as a goalkeeper, now I'm expecting you to be great with those long balls to center back, because you might do that 3 years. So I'm expecting you to be great with that. And we also have one guy coming straight from college, so I know exactly what you're talking about. But same time, us coaches, I think we should prepare the players and the goalkeepers for future, for what is there. And really, it's same time, it's individual development as well.
Yeah, definitely. And it's something that we in Denmark, I feel like where I've played, we really emphasize on playing up from the back. But also then I came to college, and my first college, we had a European coach and he was like, yeah, we still want to play. And then my second college in Los Angeles, the coach was like, yeah, we want to be like risk reward, which is understanding, but he'd rather have me kicking it long than playing out from the back. And so I had so many goal kicks. But he also always emphasized that every time I make a kick, I should keep it on the field and not just kick it away. But it was me and then another center back. He was from Norway, and we always played out together. Even you could say behind back, but obviously he was watching. So we always tried to play out and had success. Yeah. 99 out of 100 times. And it's just funny how, and then I went on and went to the college trial at San Jose Earthquakes and Reno and was up there. And then they said every time, yeah, play out, play out, play out. And it was just funny. And then we were all, yeah, from every, all around the area, all around California and all around the country up there practicing for the, yeah, what, the MLS tryout up there. And it was funny to see going back to the first thing you said, that America, they build athletes. And you could see from that trial who was American and who was European, because the right back, a big tank, fast, strong, and then a center back from Spain, and he was like playing like Carlos Puyol, and that was just lovely to see. Yeah, so yeah, back to the distribution and playing out from the back skills, it's there's a big difference from where you are and where you are brought up.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And the whole culture that you have been growing came to my mind about what Markus said also. The next generation, like, so far I've been teaching the 37-year-olds how to build up, right? And it is uncomfortable, it is long journey, it is still hard playing alongside the 34-year-old center back who is also a little bit not sure what do we do. Number six, a little bit older guy also, not sure what goalkeeper is capable of doing. So there is all the time this like, is this risky? Is this okay? How do we do this? Also unsure about their own personal tools to do that. And now in 10 years or 5 years, we will have goalkeepers in first teams that since the young age from the academy, they've been coming through the process, which is targeted to professional football, and they are used to build up. They are used to be part of the collective exercises with specifically tailor-made or designed exercises where the goalkeeper has a specific role to develop his skills, not only to be there, to be involved, but what I'm trying to say that the next generation, they have been coming through the process and through the academies that are looking to modern goalkeeper. So that will bring so much more to collective build-up as well.
Yeah, for sure. And talking about this, I actually wrote an article about distribution where I took out Joe Hart versus Claudio Bravo back in 2015-16, where they were up against each other. If you can say that Guardiola got in Bravo. And if I found this statistic saying that they both played the same amount of games, conceded the same amount of goals, had the same amount of clean sheets. But the pass accuracy, Joe Hart had 53% pass accuracy and Bravo had 84, and possessions lost from Joe Hart was 352 and Bravo was 142. And that was the difference in those two keepers. But they'd also, then Bravo didn't have his best season. But looking from the distribution point of view, that was why he got picked in on the team.
Yeah, and now if we would say that Joe Hart had five goals less conceded and a couple more clean sheets or something like that, most probably still in the long run for the philosophy that Man City had, the Bravo was the right choice, because you know you always have to be clear with the values that you want as a coach, and that's what Claudio Bravo brought, no matter if he's even stopping a little bit less balls, but of course there has to be the balance anyways.
Yeah, true. But carrying on, you are a listener of this podcast, so you know the next question. So we're called Gloves On Podcast. So what are your favorite gloves and why?
Oh, this, I was prepared for this. So at the moment, I'm a lot without the gloves in the fields. But I've been doing cooperation several years with the one, and I've been extremely satisfied with the one glove. I haven't been missing anything, to be honest. Comfortable gloves, sometimes I also need to step in between the sticks when there is a load control for the goalkeeper. So I haven't had any problems dropping the balls, and the colors are matching our gear as well. So I have nothing to complain there. How about you guys?
I think that's very interesting what you said about you are a lot of times without gloves, because myself as a goalkeeper coach for some of the young goalkeepers in the area where I'm studying at the moment, when I'm coaching them, I'm actually coaching without gloves. And I've always thought of my goalkeeper coaches someone who needs to wear gloves. And all my goalkeeper coaches I've had over the years have always been wearing gloves. But when I started coaching, just out of nowhere, I just started coaching without gloves. And I actually feel like there is no need, if you can say like that, for me to wear gloves. And I feel more comfortable coaching without gloves. So I think that's an interesting perspective for you as a goalkeeper yourself as well, if you don't wear gloves when you coach MLS players. But that's just a little side note.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now that you're telling this, I think there is a couple of reasons, because I've been also, especially when I was in San Jose Earthquakes, I was like 50% of my tasks were assistant coach tasks. So there is several things to do. So felt silly to be there coaching the center backs in the middle of the field with gloves on. But same time, like I have sometimes even two cameras with me in the field. So, you know, setting those up and changing the positions, just the practical reasons. But of course, when it's a cold day, I'm so happy to have my gloves on.
Yeah, but that's funny that, because I feel more comfortable when I'm coaching that I'm wearing gloves, because I feel like, yeah, I'm a goalkeeper too. And I can, if he makes a bad pass or a bad throw to me, I can be like quick and catch it and not drop it. Yeah. It's just, and then especially, yeah, on cold days, obviously.
But that's also cool when you are there and catching the ball without the gloves with my small hand. And the goalkeepers are thinking that, okay, I shouldn't drop any balls. You know, if that guy is catching the ball without the gloves there.
Yeah, everyone is different, and we all do our things in our own way. But Yuri, thank you so much for taking your time today and being a part and a guest of our podcast.
Yeah, pleasure is mine. It was great to be part of this nice project, and all the best, guys. Thank you so much.
And for the listeners out there, make sure to check out Yuri's on social media, where he's sharing content, and also Alexander at Danish Goalkeeping, myself at Goalkeeper Dane, and of course our favorite podcast, the Gloves On Podcast. Thank you.